This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Pete Sepp, Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union. We want to get his thoughts on the proposal coming from President Obama for a 3-year spending freeze on discretionary spending, basically non-national defense spending, as well as what we've just learned here on Capitol Hill today, the defeat of the proposed creation of a panel to study ways to reduce the national debt. And Pete, it's always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here.
Well, some of these websites out there today are pointing out that during the 2008 campaign, President Obama repeatedly insisted that an across-the-board discretionary spending freeze, bad idea. His catchphrase at the time was, we don't need a hatchet, we need a scalpel. Obviously, he's changed here. Is this a good idea?
Well, I guess we're talking about political circumstances. That was then, this is now. And the key things to understand about any spending freeze, I think, is number one, what goes into the freezer? Number two, who gets to open the freezer door? And number three, how long is the freezer door going to stay shut? And on all three counts, if you take a look at what Obama's proposing, the actual freeze that would take place is a little less impressive than people would be led to believe. We're talking about a portion of the federal budget called non-defense, non-homeland security, non-veterans discretionary spending. That's subject to annual appropriation by Congress. It amounts to about one out of every $8 the federal government spends. So you're only freezing a pretty small fraction of what actually comes out of the U.S. Treasury every year. It would last for 3 years, which is certainly a commendable stretch. That would, with the inflationary trends over time, actually reduce the amount of spending on federal programs in that area, not just actually freeze them. But you also have to remember this would be some kind of statutory rule, meaning that Congress could override it with some kind of simple majority vote or a supermajority vote to just waive the rule and move forward. That's something that the U.S. Senate does on a regular basis with its own budgetary restrictions, and we could very well see that happen again. We also have to realize this may or may not include a lot of emergency spending requests. We have to see the details from the administration about that. Congress often gets around its own self-imposed spending limits by saying, we have to make an exception here. All in favor, say aye.
Pete, what's the track record on this? Has anyone recently actually implemented a spending freeze on the national level, and how long did it last, if it did?
Well, there were attempts to freeze or reverse the growth rate of spending under the Graham-Rudman-Hollings deficit reduction law. That got challenged in court by members of Congress, and key parts of it were gutted. The same was true of a statutory line item veto that Bill Clinton supported, tried to use, and then got sued by the legislative branch for exercising the power. A balanced budget constitutional amendment, which would have real teeth in it, came with within one vote of the margin needed for passage in the Senate back in the 1990s. But since then, there have been no real meaningful constraints in place on spending. And the last time we actually saw a portion of the federal budget drop was immediately after the Republican takeover of Congress in 1995-96, when, again, discretionary spending actually went down.
Well, Pete, it's obvious from public opinion polls and recent elections that people don't like the way the size of government is trending, and this is most likely a response to that. Another idea in potential response to that was the creation of this so-called debt panel, mostly made up of members of Congress, a couple White House officials as well, but that actually got shot down today. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think the way the panel was constructed, there were many things to recommend it. It required expedited action on the part of Congress for any recommendations that were made. There would probably be some suggestions for structural reforms that are desperately needed in our entitlement programs. Unfortunately, there was a concern that there would be too heavy a reliance on tax increases to do the heavy lifting of bringing our entitlement programs back into balance. And that's why you saw a reluctance on the part of some fiscal conservatives to back that measure. I think that what this vote vote means is that we need to fine-tune the proposal to a degree that we look more at spending restraint than tax increases to solve these future problems, as we should, because a history of payroll tax hikes and repealing exemptions and exposing more people to payroll taxes simply hasn't been part of the cure for the entitlement system's problems.
We're talking with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, you mentioned a little while ago that even if this spending freeze were to actually happen, it would really only affect a fraction of the federal budget. So what's the best way to really make some serious and responsible reductions?
Well, the only way is the hard way, and that's to amend the U.S. Constitution to require that all outlays of the federal government be under a balanced budget requirement. And in order to raise taxes to reduce the deficit, you would have to have an extraordinary supermajority of members of Congress to do anything like that. That would put the proper emphasis on spending reduction rather than tax hikes to get a handle on the deficit and begin paying down the national debt. That's a very difficult hill to climb, requires heavy majorities in Congress to support, but it's the only thing that'll stand the test of time.
Pete, last question, almost the complete opposite question. The House has already done this. The Senate is not done it yet, and that's the raising of the debt ceiling. Just how significant of a vote is that if, in fact, the Senate goes along as well?
It's a very significant vote, and ironically, even if the Senate goes ahead with a $1 trillion increase in the debt, they may still have to consider another raising of the debt lid sometime in the fall when it would be particularly punitive in election season.
A lot of political as well as fiscal ramifications here. Pete, thanks so much for being with us as always.
My pleasure.
Peter Sepp is Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.